From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Welcome to our broadcast, the highlights of last Sunday's service, which was the seventh Sunday of Easter and also Mother's Day. A quick reminder that we have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 10:30. Our Sunday school is for all ages, and everyone is certainly welcome to come be with us.
In the name of our gracious God, our risen and ascending Lord, and our empowering Spirit,
Amen.
We gather today rejoicing for many things. We come giving thanks for our mothers who have raised us.
Thanks, Mom, for sharing our joys and having made our tears.
We come giving thanks for graduates who have completed another chapter in their lives.
We rejoice with them and say we belong to new adventures.
So with joy in our hearts, let us worship. Join in the prayer of the day for this, the seventh Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior, ascended far above the heavens and is with you in eternal glory. Mercifully give us faith to trust that, as he promised, he abides with us on earth to the end of time, as he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen.
Our children's time this morning is led by Carla Clennon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Good.
Can anybody tell me what this is? A maze. You think we can make it through our maze? So where are we going to start at? Start here. And we got to go to right here at the finish line, right? So we're going to start here. Am I going straight?
No, yes.
Okay. Well, now I have a decision. Do I turn or go straight?
Turn up.
Turn up? Okay. Going. How far?
Side stop.
Oh, I stopped. Do I turn right or left?
Left.
I hope this is the left. So we're going this way. Keep going. Oh, I got to go down? Are you sure? Okay, we're going down. Keep going. Stop. Now which way? Right or left?
Right.
Right. I hit another wall. Up. Okay. Right. There's another wall. Down. Oh, this is a big down.
Now left.
Now left.
Now you turn right and right again.
Turn right again?
Turn
up.
And turn right?
And turn right? Or left?
This way?
We made it. Whew. That was difficult. Do you all have any difficult decisions in your life? None? At all? What if your mom and dad says, it's time for you to clean your room? What do you do? Do you go, no, I am not cleaning my room today. And what happens? You get in trouble. So life is all about decisions. And if we make the wrong decisions, do we keep going forward or do we back up and start again? We back up and we start again. Well, just like Jesus did, he told his disciples that the world was going to be difficult and that he knew his disciples were going to need his help when he was no longer here. So what do you think God did? What do you think he did with his disciples?
He backed up and did it again.
He kind of backed up and did it again, but he prayed with them. So when you have life decisions and you just don't know what to do, that something is going to be difficult, pray to God, and God will always be there to show you the right decision. We don't want to make wrong decisions, so we need to make the right decisions, and God will be there with you. Let's say a little prayer. Father, as we search the path that will lead us safely through the world, we place our trust in you and ask for your guidance for protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our special music this morning is by our children's choir, God's Singers. They're singing, "The Lord is My Shepherd." First two scripture readings are read by Susan Berger, and it's followed by the gospel reading and his sermon, New Directions, by Pastor Gene Ma.
Would you please join me for our prayer of illumination? Gracious God, in the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you have given us eternal life and glorified your name in all the world. Through your word, refresh our lives today with the living streams of your truth, that in you our joy may be complete. Amen. Our first reading today comes from Acts 1, 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. Here we learn how the disciples chose another to replace Judas. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120 then, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our numbers and shared in this ministry. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of those must become a witness with us of his resurrection." So they proposed two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry. Then Judas has left us to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Here ends our first reading. Our second reading comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe in God has made him out to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son, Jesus. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son God, so that you may know that they have, and you have, eternal life. Here ends our readings for the day.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prayed, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and known in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine is yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may know, they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong in the world, just as I do not belong in the world. Sanctify them in the truth, for your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. Amen. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Life is full of turns, of taking new directions. I was thinking, you know, maybe this is a new direction to sit here and give you the sermon, and I'll have to try this for a week or two, or something like that. But for these high schoolers in front of you today, the new directions are a reality. Those hallowed halls are so familiar these last years will soon be left behind. And new directions will take place, possibly even finding themselves in different cities or states as they proceed on in their lives. Often, where they go will also be temporary homes, before moving on to even new ventures and directions. This being Mother's Day, we could also think of our mothers today, and they often have to shuffle in many different new directions. Often mothering as well as maybe caring for other facets of their lives and helping us to move in new directions as we go through life. Today, our readings we find some exclusive company here because the disciples are also facing a time of new directions. The ascension had just happened, and the Lord left them. This event is 40 days after Easter, which would be marked by last Thursday in this year. And they were left with their mouths wide open as Jesus was taken up into heaven. And the angels were there, and they had to say to them to bring them back to reality, "Why are you standing here looking up into the skies? This Jesus who is taken from you into heaven will come back the same way." But for the disciples, the question now is, now what? Or it could be, where to? As they waited for the rest of their discipleship to unfold, as they would also wait for that coming Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that powerful Spirit that had been promised to them. This would come 10 days later, and now it was time to regroup, to rethink, to sort out, to be unified from the mission that lie ahead, to do some long-range planning and look for new directions for the trip down the road, wherever it may be. The first thing they did was to increase the number of disciples back to 12. Oh, thank you. Judas was no longer with them. Now it was 11. And he had died, you know, following that betrayal of Jesus for those 30 pieces of silver. And they wished to get back to 12, perhaps to match the number of the 12 tribes of Israel. And it comes here between those two big events, the ascending Lord and the descending Spirit. So what did they do? Well, they had a business meeting. That might be called the first consistory meeting of the disciples, who now were on their own. Of course, Peter chaired it. 120 believers were there, and they suggest two people from the group, Barsabbas and Matthias. And these two had been there from the beginning. They had witnessed the resurrection, that election that took place that was done by lottery. We wonder who the lucky person was to draw the name out of the hat. But when they cast lots, the winner was Matthias. Certainly they felt this election was blessed by God, even went into prayer before the lot was chosen. We are not sure if this really needed to be done. We hear precious little about what came of either candidate following the moment. Rather, it was like our consistory here, I suppose. When there is a vacancy, we find that they say we need to fill it so the church can really operate correctly. So here was a new direction, a fledgling beginnings of a church, which officially would begin on Pentecost, which is next Sunday for us. You know, Pentecost is one of those big three festivals of the year. And it marks the beginnings of the things left to those to continue to take care of whatever needs caring and for his word to continue alive among them. We could call these the in-between times, for our God is a God of these in-between times and not just the high and holy times and days and the high points in our lives. There are things that need to be done during these times as well. It's like the consistory. You know, they would take care of putting those crosses and those new crosses on the end of the pews and fill them in. Oh, you didn't notice that they're all filled in now, did you? That they are there, yeah. Or maybe some little more light bulbs that are getting a little more brighter than they used to be, or things like that. Or how about these new handrails going up into our chancel? May not have noticed them yet, but they are there.
Oh, these are things that get done behind the scenes, and that's what happens. And the disciples were up to some of those things as well. The high school grads, it is much of a time, a between time now, as they finish school and go on to this next level. Or the mothers, from day you get married until the day these high school grads leave for New Horizons. Our God is there to walk with us through these ordinary times as well. Here it was done with ordinary people, no superstars. When you think about it, God must have liked ordinary people because he made so many of us. We can say Matthias and Barsabbas, I mean, they were ordinary people, even as many of the other disciples would be known as. Leadership in groups may change, but the Lord is praying here for a unity of mission to go on, even beyond when any of us will be here in this area. Because they knew and we know that we have eternal life in him, and that's what gives us true direction in life. I have a story here this morning. It's simply called Where the Story Never Ends. An old man lay there dying, and his children and grandchildren were gathered around him. And one by one, he bid them farewell, leaving each one with his blessing and love. And when he came to that last, to the youngest grandchild, he said, "Now where is my little one?" "Oh, here I am," the little boy called as he jumped out of his mother's arms and climbed up into the bed and plopped himself down beside the old man. "I'm right here, Grandpa." And neither of them said anything at first. And the little boy took a hold of one of the old man's tired hands, and as he had often done in their playtime, he tugged at the gold ring on his third finger. And after a while, without lifting his eyes from the ring, he said, "Are you going to heaven, Grandpa?" "Oh, yes, little one," the old man replied. "I'm going to be with Grandma in the place that Jesus has prepared for us." There was a long silence as the little boy pondered what the old man had said. And then he raised himself up, and this time, looking deep into his grandfather's eyes, he asked, "Grandpa, where is heaven?" And the old man smiled and playfully ran his fingers through the little boy's curly brown hair. "Do you remember how you used to sit on my lap and beg me to tell you a story? You would say, 'Tell me a long, long one, Grandpa. I want it to go on forever and ever.'" And the little boy's eyes were shining and he said, "Oh, yes. I remember those stories." "Well," the old man sighed, "heaven is like that. Heaven is where the story never ends." See, here was that assurance that Jesus had not left them, that he always walks with us, and he shares a concern for us, ready to bless us, whatever lies ahead, as we go with us in those new directions of life. When he ascended, we were not left high and dry. This may be, in this chapter 17 of John's Gospel, the real Lord's Prayer. For 3 years, we're going to hear parts of this prayer on this Sunday because there's too much for just once. We have the middle part this year. He prays for all of those who are left and now are being sent into the world as the Heavenly Father sent Jesus into the world. It is a prayer full of affection for them. It says, "I have shared everything that you have given me, and Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me so that they may be one as we are one." His prayer then extends to us today. So whether we are lost in prayer or as a church knee-deep in financial talks, Jesus prays that the church simply remember who we are and whose we are, who and whose, that we may one work together in a oneness of spirit as we continue to share this good news. And secondly, that we be protected from the storms of life. And thirdly, that we might be sanctified in truth, that we might be made holy, that we might grow in grace and truth that God gives through daily experiences of life. We never know what life encounters we will face. We could even think of some humorous examples about that. I'll give you one right now. It's like the man who met a bear out in the trail as he was walking in this national park. And he sees this bear and he runs and he falls down and he breaks his leg. And the bear is not far behind. So he prays as he accepts his fate in life. But he says, "Dear Lord, I have one request. Could you please make this bear a Christian?" And the bear was about to him, and the bear stops and was heard to say, "Dear Lord, I thank you for this meal that you have set before me." You see? Well, humorous or serious, it is humbling to know that Jesus is praying here for us, for his disciples of today, for a oneness, for a protection, for growing in the grace of God. And these are words for all of us, high school grads, mothers, dads, homemakers, all of us here today. Whether young or old, we are often caught in the midst of new directions. In our personal lives, in work situations, in church life, in retirement plans. Some of you might even be becoming empty nesters at times as we think of graduations. See, it is just comforting to know that Jesus has a concern for us. Comforting and humbling that he prays for us. He cares about us and our lives. There is a quote of Henry David Thoreau which says, you know, what lies behind us and what lies ahead of us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. And to that we could really add, well, what lies within us, strengthened and shaped by who lies with us, the God of grace and truth. Change and new directions will come and go for all of us, even as they did for Matthias and the other disciples. But may our Lord be with you as you face those new directions in life. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, graduates and parents, and all who are gathered here, go forth today assured of the presence of living Christ in our hearts and our lives forever. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.